Every 68 seconds in this country, someone is the victim of a sexual assault.
Those statistics, unbelievable. And today we're going to be speaking with a woman. She's going to share her story. She was a victim of sexual assault.
And this is Chick to Chick.
April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and you know, you hear so many different statistics. 1 in 5 women, 1 in 4, 1 in 3, 1 in 3 men will be a victim of sexual assault. But the bigger picture is every 68 seconds, someone is sexually assaulted in this country. That's every minute. This is happening, and to me, that's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. You know, I have 5 girls. There are 5 girls, and there is never been a moment that I haven't been worried or fearful of something like this happening to them. I mean, it happened to my mother. It has happened to good friends. It's just unimaginable. You know, and the fact that there are people who are willing to really come out and be candid and talk about it, I think is incredible bravery. And we do have one of those people with us today. Brooke Rush is with us today. Brooke, I am so sorry that it is the circumstances of what we're talking about, but we are also so happy to have you on the podcast today.
And I appreciate the opportunity that you guys are giving me. I cannot tell you how important it is for me to have heard others' stories when it comes to where I am in my healing now.
All right. So tell us your story. What happened to you?
So unfortunately, my story is one that changed my life all the way back at my 12th birthday. I remember all I could think about what I wanted that year was to quit the saxophone. I didn't want a gift. I wanted to not have to go to saxophone practice any longer. And leading up to those days, unfortunately, I started experiencing what we later found out was appendicitis. And we had gone to the same pediatrician for, well, since infancy, and had always seen the same doctor in this practice. And unfortunately, that day, there was a different pediatrician who was a well-known pediatrician, an upstanding member of our community, who was the practitioner who saw me. I'm sorry, this one always makes me pause a little bit in speaking because this is my sensitive spot, but my father took me to that appointment and he sat at my feet and I could have literally flexed my feet and tapped his shoulder. And while the doctor was examining me with his right hand and explaining out loud to some medical students behind him in the doorway what he was doing with his right hand, he was molesting me with his left hand.
My God.
And I can tell you the color of the walls and where everybody was positioned and all of these things.
And your father was there. You're saying your father was there.
And my father did this. Was literally at my feet. But this was in the 80s. And, you know, he was modest. I'm still modest. And so he was giving me the respect and privacy of looking in straight ahead while his young 11-year-old daughter was literally right at his shoulder in the safest place I could have been. And to this day, he struggles with knowing that it happened right under his nose. And there's been nothing that has helped my parents with accepting that, including the fact that this predator who, ironically, 5 years ago, we put away for the rest of his life. Oh, he will die in prison. But it turned out that a big part of the excitement for him was more people in the room. The fear of being caught was a big part of the enjoyment for him. And so not only did it destroy the lives of a lot of children in our community, there's a lot of parents who, like my parents, would have laid down their life for us. And they couldn't stop that from happening.
So Brooke, when you leave the doctor's office, knowing your father was there, like, what do you remember was swirling around in your head about what to do and what to say?
So swirling is actually a really good description. And unfortunately, that's what was going on for upwards of 5 years for me. When we left immediately, I went home that night and I distinctly remember laying across my parents' bed on my back and my mother was in the bathroom. And the only thing I could work up the courage to say was, I think the doctor touched me somewhere where he shouldn't have.
You just gave me the chills.
I literally,
you're giving me
the
chills.
Well, I just have a visual of this, and it's just, oh my gosh. Anyway.
What did your mom say?
Yeah.
Well, as a mother, and this has been a discussion that we've had many years later, and as a mother myself, you know, I needed to understand a lot of that. But as a mother, and my mom thinking, you know, I had been at the pediatrician, she assumed, unfortunately, that he touched me somewhere he shouldn't have meant he may have brushed across my chest when he went to do my abdominal exam or something of that nature. Never in a million years did she think anything like what had actually happened, because she had a child that just could not come up with the words to tell her. And it swirled in my head for years, wondering if what happened was actually okay. That somehow I was hanging on to the trauma of this, but surely it wasn't wrong. It was a doctor. It had to be okay. My dad was right there. There's no way somebody would do something so wrong. There were so many people around. And that's what cycled and cycled and cycled for me all throughout middle school. And at the end of middle school was the first time I attempted to end that cycle.
What did you do?
I at that point, I had tried everything to isolate myself, to not have to go to school. I was pretending to be sick in every way you could imagine. And I had been prescribed anti-epileptic medication. And the night before church, I took the entire bottle of anti-epileptic medication, hoping that I would not wake up at 15 years old.
What in the world did you do to pull yourself through to a point where you could get it out? Like, it's like I'm imagining like this actual purging of what happened to you. What was the catharsis? When was it that you just were able to get this out?
So the best thing that ever happened to me in my life was becoming a mother. And the timing of that was not the best timing for any teenager. Part of me acting out, isolating, doing all these things was putting myself in a relationship, and trying to attach myself to something. And I found myself pregnant at the age of 17. Mm-hmm. That was the pivotal moment for me. And believe it or not, because I still was struggling with all of these thoughts, whether it was a true violation or not, all those years, this was the only pediatrician in our small town for the most part. I took my infant son to that pediatrician's office, never thinking I would see that doctor. And the moment I hit the doorway, I had a visceral reaction to what had happened to me. And where it came from was having this other being to protect. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time where I had the words and I told the father of my child that this is what happened to me and it happened to me here. And it, but again, this is still early 90s at this point and not really knowing what to do with this information. We were two kids playing house, essentially. I sat on it for many, 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 many more years, and processed it in very unhealthy ways. And it wasn't until very recently, and whether this is it's true, your 40s are amazing years, or 40 is just when everything came together for me, that's when I finally took control back.
Wow. You went through so much. I don't think people realize the long-term effects that this can have. You survived and now you're thriving. And how are you living with that? And how did you get to this point that you are thriving now?
I never in a million years thought this would be a story that I told. I didn't tell anyone for so many years. And I was very lucky in that a girl that was my age when I was assaulted, a 12-year-old little girl, had the courage to speak out against this doctor who had still been in practice for 30 more years. And it was that moment where I said, I can't let her do this alone. And that dumped me into this amazing family of survivors. I never even knew the difference between the term victim and survivor until people started labeling me as one or the other. And I greatly respect or appreciate the respect you guys gave in labeling me a survivor. It's through connecting with other people who understand exactly how I feel and never having to say a word. So we have just a network of phenomenal people who have been through this type of trauma, and we are bonded in ways that I can't even begin to tell you. I have a massive family now that has lifted me into this place. And this place is just one where I want to share, because I have learned that it is through other people sharing their story and me not feeling alone in having to process these things that I have gained so, so much.
What do you tell someone who is either in your position or they're the parent of someone in the position? What should they be doing to try to get some help?
I'd love to speak specifically first on the parenting piece. Number one, you cannot let your guilt keep you from either reporting or supporting your child. I know it is a terrifying thing to think that you have some way failed in protecting your child, but there are very skilled manipulators out there. Step one is to get help for yourself and for your child. For someone like me, tell your story. There are so many people out there living the same exact story as you. And when you connect with them, you start to really identify even more things that maybe you didn't put in that category. There were a lot of things that I was experiencing in my life that I never would have associated with my assault when I was 11, 12 years old, that now I'm able to deal with them in a better way because I've found that commonality between other survivors. And lastly, anything you can do to continue to fight this in some way is such a healing thing. There are so many things that you can get involved in without ever having to tell your story publicly at all to help other children that could potentially be in your shoes someday.
Brooke, on that note, thank you for sharing your story. We're so sorry you went through this, but your words are so powerful, and we certainly hope that by you sharing your story, you're helping other people in this situation. So thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Mm-hmm.
I think what's so difficult about this is that the person who did this to her, it's kind of like the priest.
Yes.
You know, molesting these kids.
Or it's the scout leader.
Yeah, it's the person
it's
you trust.
Trusted person.
The doctor. You're cruel. Going to the doctor. Yeah. And I think that's what is so difficult to process here.
God bless her. And I she has such a powerful voice.
Yeah, she
literally
does.
And figuratively, she's a very powerful voice. And we are grateful that we had her on the podcast today. Hopefully it'll help someone who is listening shed some light on sexual assault in this country. We appreciate you being with us here today. Do us a favor, head over to our YouTube channel, like and subscribe until we're back to chirp about another topic.